is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America, wherever you might be. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. SiriusXM Channel 375, a smart speaker. You can ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you for being here. We've been hanging out for an hour already. Where have you been? The show gets started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We talked about Justin Fields giving everybody a scare with this dislocated toe. Had to be carted off the field on the first day of New York Jets practice. It's the most New York Jets thing ever. We just talked about Michael Penix Jr. just feeding the ball to Kyle Pitts. Kirk Cousins, well, I guess he's just standing around throwing the ball to the other guys. Welcome to life. Hey, we're about a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Maybe Eugenio Suarez is going to end up on another team. All them home runs that he's hitting, I know a couple of teams that could use him. Man, we talked about the passing of Hulk Hogan at 71 years old. Didn't see that coming. Out of all the wrestlers, him? Like, Ric Flair is invincible. Ric Flair will live forever. He's like a Highlander. He's going to be here forever. Damn, Hulk Hogan gone, 71 years old. Hey, if you missed last hour, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. If you want to be a part of this show, you can. You can call me. The phone number works. We have paid our bills. We good. The phone number is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you use the internet, you got email, you have social media, you got a phone, you got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got all that stuff, X. I'm at JR Sport Brief. That's me. Don't do anything if you are driving a vehicle. That's illegal. Botcher, that's illegal in all states, right? All of them.
Yep, no texting and driving or calling and driving.
Yeah, even though people do it all the damn time.
Yes.
All the time. All the time. Damn, like, damn. People drive on the road. I'm like, what are they doing? They got to be on their phone. What are they doing over here? Yeah, don't do that while you're driving. Be safe. Eyes on the road. Eyes on the road. Hit me up later at JR Sport Brief. As we continue on with the show, you know what? How about this? In about 20 minutes, let's have a conversation with Zach Rosenblatt. He covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. You know, let's get his thoughts in the latest on Justin Fields and his dislocated toe and what we can expect from this offense and defense. Apparently, they'll be more aggressive under their new head coach, Aaron Glenn. So we'll have Zach Rosenblatt joining us in the next segment. How about this? Next hour, we'll have a chat with Eric Edholm, who covers all things NFL for NFL Media. And so we have a whole lot more to get into as the show continues on. We just discussed Michael Penix Jr. playing for the Falcons and Kirk Cousins playing backup. And there's a man who also has a job that he probably didn't want as the first option. Kirk Cousins, he picked the Falcons because he thought he was going to be a starting quarterback. Little did he know, they said, nope. Falcons said, Kirk Cousins, you suck. We're going to throw Michael Penix out there. Okay. He's like, I would have stayed in Minnesota for all of this. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, the Tar Heels have a head coach. Let's be real. Bill Belichick would rather still be in the NFL. He would. I'm sure he would still like to be coaching the Patriots as much as both he and Robert Kraft can't stand each other so far. Can't stand each other. But Bill Belichick did take a meeting with the Falcons at one point in time. Looked like he might be on his way down here to coach the team. And then he didn't coach anybody. And then he immediately went to the Tar Heels. And he had a buyout in his contract just to kind of ensure that he would at least possibly stick around. At least through this season. And so Bill Belichick today participated in his first college media day, ACC Media Days. Bill Belichick spoke today, and it is July. We're not at week zero or week one. Bill Belichick, the brand new college head coach. Did he sound miserable? Did he sound happy? Is he a curmudgeon? Is he growling? Is he cursing people out? Is he refusing to answer questions? Is he being a normal human being like we know he can be? Bill Belichick, coaching these Tar Heels, not expected to do anything. They got to figure out who's going to throw the ball. Bill Belichick said he likes his team so far. Okay, Bill.
Super impressed with the way our players have competed. They've worked really hard. I think they're in good condition. We've hit a lot of personal. they've hit a lot of personal high marks, and whether it be strength, speed, explosion, different measurements that we've taken through the course of the training, the beginning through the end, and looking back on their career from previous training years. Like, these guys have really worked hard, and they have a lot to show for it. And so we're almost at the point where we can get out there and start putting together the chemistry, the timing, the execution, the communication, that we need to have on the field.
Oh, listen to him. He sounds nice. Somebody must have botched it. Is it a Snickers that makes people feel better? A Snickers, right?
Yes, it is. But I just think he's out of the NFL and he's less stressed.
Oh, for now, today.
That is true.
He got a Snickers today. Somebody gave him a Snickers. When the North Carolina Tar Heels are swapping quarterbacks in and out and their record is like 2-5, Bill Belichick will be as miserable as possible. I mean, over the years, more specifically, Jim Boeheim, he would be destroying the student-led media at Syracuse. It's like, damn, bro, lay off of them. They're students. They're learning, and you just out here ripping them to shreds, you old man. Give him a break. I don't think we'll see Bill Belichick ripping student journalists to shreds, but I think he's going to be short on patience sooner than later. The closer that the colder it gets outside, the icier Bill Belichick is going to be. And I just told you one of those reasons is because, well, this man doesn't know who his quarterback is. I don't know who these guys are. He got a guy coming in from another school. He got another guy who's a freshman. He got another guy, multi-sport athlete. Bill Belichick might as well just close his eyes and pick a quarterback. And that's what he might have to do. This is what Bill Belichick had to say about the quarterback battle at the University of North Carolina. This is from ESPN.
Yeah, it'll be competitive, and we'll see how it goes. Those guys all get an opportunity, and we'll let the competition play out on the field. I can't control how players play, never have, and never will. Performance is up to the players, and then we'll do the best we can to coach all of them and help them be the best they can be. But ultimately, players win the games, and players earn their playing time, their spots on the field, and that'll be up to them.
Oh, and he's a warm coach. You would have never known this is one. Well, you could if you know anything. But you would have never known he's a miserable you-know-what if you just heard him today. The guy with 6 Super Bowl rings, 8 Super Bowl rings if you count the 2 that he won as defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells and the New York Giants, 3rd all-time in wins. He sounds like that guy today. He sounds confident. He sounds cool, calm, collected. He sounds nice. Bill Belichick sounds nice. I told you, I don't know how nice he's going to sound by the time he pulls into October and November. They open up their season against TCU. Looks like a loss to me. Then they take on Charlotte. Then they get the beat up on the Richmond Spiders. Oh, all my friends and family in Richmond, I apologize. Hey, they take on Central Florida. And then, oh, this is not going to be good. This is going to be horrific. Horrific. They're going to take on Clemson. They got Dabo Sweeney the first Saturday of October. At least they got him at home. Clemson is going to rip them to shreds. Dabo doesn't even have to go into the damn transfer portal to beat North Carolina, but damn, This one is not going to be good. It's going to be fun seeing Bill Belichick in college against a championship coach. It's going to be a good one. Hey, Belichick, do you know Dabo Sweeney, your friends? Of course you're going to say something nice about him. You're not going to say he's crap. What do you think?
You know, again, I have a ton of respect for Dabo and what he's done. Great opportunity to spend some time with him at the ACC coaches meetings. And it's always been a really enjoyable guy to be around.
Bacha, he doesn't like him.
He respects him, but doesn't like him. He doesn't hate him.
I translated everything that he just said as, I don't really know the guy. I was just around him. Why y'all asking me? That was my interpretation of it. That's it. He has no relationship with this man. He's like, I just met this guy a couple months ago. I've met him twice. Like, give me a break.
It was a longer answer, too. He basically just applauded the character of Clemson players instead of actually talking about Dabo.
Right? Come on. Well, that's what you got to do sometimes. It's like, you got to elongate stuff, make stuff up. It's like, I don't care. You can't say what it really feels because, Bill Belichick doesn't care about Dabo Sweeney. Now they're going to ask Dabo Sweeney. So it's the art of saying nothing, which is something Bill Belichick has historically perfected, except for this time, instead of being curt or short, he stretched it out on this one. Good luck to Bill Belichick. The guy may stick around for it. Well, I give him at least 2 years. Because is Bill Belichick going back to the NFL? I think not. Is the NFL going to call Bill Belichick to walk back in that door? I think the hell not. Nope, nope, nope. You got to worry about the schedule that I just laid out. That's what Bill Belichick said about his new life and some of his goals this year with the Tar Heels.
You know, everybody's got a lot of a focus, obviously, on the TCU opener, which, you know, is in our sights. But really, right now, the big thing for us is just stacking good training days, one on top of another, one at a time, and being ready to go not only for the opener but for the entire regular season and the ACC schedule. So, that's our outlook. Just, you know, put good days together, take advantage of every opportunity. Don't let any days go by where we don't continue to improve, get better, and get closer to, you know, becoming the most consistent and best football team we can be when we step out on the field, and that'll hopefully continue every week, that we'll continue to improve as a team and all the way through the course of the season. So that's what we've always tried to do, and so that'll be our goals this year.
Stacking up days, training, stacking up days. Good for Bill Belichick. The only thing that could be bad, and I don't think it'll happen. He'll have intermediaries to do it. The only thing that could be bad for Bill Belichick is if he treats these young men like crap. Oh, Bill Belichick is too hard on us. Oh, Bill Belichick doesn't know how to relate to us. Oh, Bill Belichick this, Belichick that. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. I think he's learned a lot about dealing with young people because of his... I can't ignore the girlfriend. I can't. I think she's helping give him some perspective. Bill, you can't talk to them like that. Bill, we don't like that. Bacha, what is she? What is she considered? I don't know the generation. A Z, a X, a Y? Oh, what is it? What is she?
If I knew what I was, she's exactly what I am. She's the same age. I think it's Gen Z. I think we are.
Oh, what the heck is that? What comes after Gen Z?
Gen Alpha?
Oh, my God. Who comes up with these things?
People who have no time in their hands.
All right.
A lot of time in their hands.
Bill Belichick is getting all his advice from her, so he'll be good. He'll be fine. Here's some advice for Bill Belichick as well. Keep Lawrence Taylor away from the program, please. Okay. Keep Lawrence Taylor away from the college campus, please. I love LT, the football player. I don't know about some of the decisions that LT has made over the course of his personal life. Keep him away from that campus. Let him video call. He don't need to be on the campus to deliver advice. And good luck to Bill Belichick. I think he'll be fine. The countdown is on for him to be miserable. That's still quite a possibility. Bill Belichick. What a guy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break, and when we come back, you know, let's talk about the team that Bill Belichick did not want to be a part of. Let's talk about the team that Bill Belichick resigned from and ended up on the Patriots to help start a dynasty. When we come back, we'll talk about the New York Jets. Yeah, well, Bill Belichick was the coach for, what, 3 hours? Zach Rosenblatt is going to join us from The Athletic. Let's see if we can get a realistic update on Justin Fields and his foot, Aaron Glenn and his coaching style, Garrett Wilson and his new contract, the morale surrounding the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers gone and a new locker room. So many questions about where they can go. We'll have that conversation with Zach on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Day didn't start off good. Day did not start off good if you're a fan of the New York Jets. Yeah, the team that hasn't smelled the playoffs in about 15 years. Learning earlier today that Justin Fields had to be carted off of the field. Thank God it's only a dislocated toe. Not what you want for a new quarterback, a new system, a new coach, a new GM, a new everything, trying to wash away a little bit of the stink from the prior regime, or maybe the quarterback. He gone. He's in Pittsburgh now. To talk about everything going on with the New York Jets, what we can expect going forward, what took place today, joining us right now is Zach Rosenblatt, who covers all things New York Jets for The Athletic. Zach, how are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time. So we all heard about Justin Fields having to be carted off the field, and then we ultimately learned it's only a dislocated toe. He's day-to-day. Is there any update? There's nothing to be worried about here, right? He'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, by all accounts, he'll be back during training camp at some point. I don't know how soon or when he comes back, will he be a full go kind of thing. But, yeah, they avoided disaster, which the Jets in their history often don't do that. So,
yeah, we know the New York Jets, we can go back to even a guy who won the Super Bowl with the busted-up knees and Namath Testaverde blowing out his Achilles, and Jets have a bad history of leg injuries. Having said that, what is the level of enthusiasm for Justin Fields and what he's been able to do so far in the months since he's been signed?
I mean, internally, there's a lot of it. You know, he's someone that they targeted when the offseason came about because they liked the idea of, you know, buying a lottery ticket on a player that hadn't really lived up to his draft standing when he was drafted by the Bears. You know, he struggled a little bit over there, and the Steelers benched him after six games, fair or not. But they saw some talent. They saw a quarterback who could run. They saw some throwing ability that has been untapped. And since he's gotten in the building, you know, he's somebody who just, like, goes about his business the right way. He's very, not to himself, but he's not like a rah-rah leader. And, you know, I think the main thing they've been looking for is progress. And throughout spring, I thought he got better. I think he made some of the same mistakes at the beginning of training camp that he was early in the year. But, you know, ideally you need to get him as many reps as possible. And then when they do, they have this offense built around him and his skill set, and they're putting him in a position to succeed. And it's going to be on him to live up to their confidence.
Well, Zach, we know being able to pass the ball to someone that he's familiar with from college is going to help. That's Garrett Wilson. He just got that 4-year, $130 million contract, making him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the game. Who else is going to step up to be a pass catcher in this offense, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, especially because, you know, right now it looks pretty easy to just double team Garrett and just try to, you know, take him away and not really fear the other options, because, you know, the second best pass catching weapon they have is probably running back Breece Hall. And I don't think you really want that. And then, you know, they drafted Mason Taylor in the second round. He's a 20-year-old rookie. And the receivers that are going to be playing around Garrett Wilson are guys like Josh Reynolds and Alan Lazard and Tyler Johnson and, Malachi Corley, who they drafted in the third round last year, like guys that are either unproven or just kind of underwhelming veterans who are probably better served as like number three or number four receiver in most offenses. So, you know, they need somebody to step up and prove that, you know, they can take a little attention, or when the attention is all going towards Garrett, that this person can step up. And there's not really an obvious answer about who that is right now.
Zach Rosenblatt is joining us, covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. You mentioned Breece Hall, and it was reported a couple of months ago that Aaron Rodgers wasn't too happy with the running game We know that Breece Hall is also thinking about his next contract. How is he going to fit in this offense?
Breece Hall?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think this he has a chance to really bounce back this year. He's coming off a year that wasn't his best last year. I don't think he played his best. He was a little banged up down the stretch. But this is an offense that's going to run the ball a lot. Last year with Aaron Rodgers, they were the worst running team in the NFL in terms of attempts. Like, they were last in terms of how many times they rushed the ball. And so Breece was often not getting the ball for long stretches. He was hard for him to get in the groove. Aaron Rodgers is checking out of runs a lot. This year, I think running is going to be their number one priority with him, with Braylon Allen, with Justin Fields. And, you know, he has a lot to prove. But, yeah, I think he's going to get a real opportunity to bounce back. And I think this is an offense that's built for him to bounce back. I see him as a sort of Jahmyr Gibbs type in this offense. It's, you know, they're trying to bring the Lions offense over here. And I see Braylon Allen as a David Montgomery type, the, you know, lightning and thunder type situation. And if Breece can stay healthy and prove himself, then whether it's here or somewhere else, I think he'll get paid. So, you know, he knows what's on the table here. He knows what's at stake for himself. And I think he has a lot of motivation to prove people.
Is Zach, you mentioned the New York Jets trying to run a little bit of a Lions-esque offense. We know Aaron Glenn is coming over from the Detroit Lions. How are things different with the New York Jets with him at the helm? Are there differences that have been seen so far? It's kind of early.
Yeah, it's a little early, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is I think he's really preaching accountability. He's really trying to establish a different culture than they've had here where – there's a real focus on having the right people in the building, having the right mindset. Everybody knows what's expected of them, and they're expected to meet those expectations. And, you know, I think there was a little bit of that lacking in the previous regime where, Robert Saleh kind of wanted the players to lead themselves, and that kind of backfired when things weren't going well. And so there wasn't really accountability. They didn't seem prepared some Sundays. The fundamentals were lacking, and I think they're trying to reverse a lot of those things. They got a lot of people out of the building that didn't really fit what they wanted. They brought in a lot of young players. It's one of the youngest rosters in the NFL. And so they're really trying to build this team in Aaron Glenn's image, bring in the people that fit his image. And you know, so far that everybody's saying all the right things and doing all the right things. It really comes down to wins and losses at the end of the day, but early returns are really good.
Zach Rosenblatt here with us from The Athletic, covers the New York Jets. We know Coach Saleh pretty relaxed and pretty chill in one regard. We know he played in New York. He played in the NFL. He's familiar with the market. He's a fiery guy. Do you think we're going to see a lot of fire throughout the course of the season? The media, is it going to get on his back a little too much or irritate him?
He doesn't seem like some, I don't know. That's kind of the big question I have is how he's going to handle it. When there's losses, when there's bad moments, when he makes a bad coaching decision and he gets questioned about it, how is he going to handle that? I think he's made of the right stuff, and he's someone who's very direct. He says what he's thinking. And even in terms of like the media coach relationship, like if you ask a question and you phrase it the wrong way, or it's a question that was already asked, like he's going to call that out. So, you know, I think how he handles this market is going to be a big question, but you know, he played here. He knows what it's like, and he knows what the fans say. You know, he had a quote yesterday actually, where he said he understands the pain that Jets fans have, and he's hoping and he's praying and he's working, and he believes that he's going to be the one to like remove that pain. And so he, you know, I think he knows what's at stake here as somebody who has been here. He's followed the Jets from afar. He played here for a long time. And so if anybody was built to handle it, it's probably him.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for him, he had a chance to kind of leave a lot of the pain. So you might have felt it a little bit, but there have been some fans who felt it for a very long time. I remember watching him on the defense, and you think about the New York Jets defense right now. Past several years under Saleh, it's been one of the best. Last year, not so much. They just paid Sauce Gardner, who's coming off of a down year at the cornerback position. What can we expect from this defense?
I think it's going to be a much different defense. You know, they were very good under Robert Saleh. Statistically, they were in the top 5 or 10 for the last 3 years. I think last year they fell off, but the 2 years before that, they were legit one of the best defenses in the NFL. A lot of that was predicated on the defensive line winning up front. The corners kind of stayed in their area. They didn't really travel, and they were able to get creative on the back end, and they were able to do the right things. But, you know, I think it's going to be completely opposite. They're going to be a team that's very aggressive. They're going to blitz a lot. They're going to try and make plays, you know, in the backfield. Sauce Gardner, he's going to move around the formation a little more. He's going to follow the top receivers, and they might even, you know, get creative and throw them in the slot every now and then and things like that. And so I think it's going to be a much different defense, but I do think they get more creative because I don't think the defensive line, it doesn't have the depth that they had in the past. They have more question marks than they usually do. So they need to be able to create pressure in creative ways. And I think that's what Steve Wilks and Aaron Glenn are going to do.
Zach, on the entire team, offense and defense, is there any player on the New York Jets that we should pay attention to that doesn't get just the attention? It's not a Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner or Quinnen Williams. Is there anybody else that we should pay attention to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say a guy that always flies under the radar that jumps to mind for me on defense is nickel corner Michael Carter II. A couple years ago, yeah, I think he was one of, if not the best, nickel corners in the NFL. It's a crucial position, especially in this defense. And he had a lot of bad injuries last year. Kind of, he had a back injury that kept popping up. And I think he's somebody to keep an eye on. And then on offense, you know, their left tackle, Olu Fashanu, was a guy they drafted in the first round last year. They really believed in him. He played right tackle for the first time in his life last year out of necessity. And then by the end of the year, I thought he was playing really, really well. I mean, into the second year, like, that's a crucial spot. I believe in this offensive line, but it is a young group. And they need somebody to really step up as, like, the guy, and I think he has the talent to be that guy.
Well, Zach, when you think about the division, we know the Buffalo Bills are going to run it. New England now has Mike Vrabel and a quarterback that they trust. The Dolphins look like they're falling apart at the seams. Where do the New York Jets fit in for all of this? What do you think their chances are of maybe getting to the postseason?
You know, I don't see them as necessarily like a playoff contender this year, though. Who knows? I mean, I think the Jets are at their best when people have low expectations for them and people aren't talking about them. And that's kind of where they're at right now, which is the inverse of the last couple of years. But, you know, I think this is a team that, and this is a division that is pretty open behind the Bills. The Patriots, as you mentioned, they're a rebuilding team with a new coach. I think the Dolphins are going the opposite way. I think they're on the decline, and it could be a bad year for them. And so there's room to, you know, fight to finish second in the division with 7, 8, 9 wins, whatever it is. And the Jets have the ability to do that. And, you know, maybe they're mathematically in the playoff one until the end. I don't see this as a playoff team on paper right now, but I believe they're going to be at the end of the year. We're going to be talking about how they never got killed by anybody, and they were really competing until the end. And I think that would be progress from last year.
Oh, that'll definitely be progress from a lot of years, going on 15 years of no postseason, the longest in all professional sports here in the United States of America, in North America. Hey, Zach, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they could follow and keep up with you and your work with The Athletic.
Yeah, all my stories are on the Jets page at The Athletic, and I'm on Twitter or X at Zach Blatt, Zack, and I have a podcast called Flight Plan where we talk about the Jets. So subscribe if you can.
Hey, Zach, it should be a little bit more even than past years. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. That Zach Rosenblatt covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. It'll be different. No Aaron Rodgers. You're eliminating half of the. Well, I was going to say stories, but you're probably eliminating. I can't even say stories. You're probably eliminating 60 to 70% of the distractions. And thank you, Zach, for coming through to join us. I agree with him that the New York Jets, man, if they win 7 or 8 games, 7 or 9 games, if they win 9 games, I'm calling that. I'm going to be pleasantly surprised with that. 7-ish is more realistic. Botcher, also a New York Jets fan. What are your thoughts? If you had to give the Jets a win total, what would it be?
Am I being a doomer or like fair fan?
So be realistic.
Realistic, 4 to 5 wins.
Damn, bro.
Justin Fields hasn't proven anything. And until I see that change, I'm not going to have high hopes.
Yeah. It's going to be a home run type offense. I'm not going to have confidence that they're going to be able to just go down the field and kind of march down and put the ball in the end zone. I think at times it's going to be a struggle. I'm going to give them a couple more wins than that. Maybe they get to 6 or 7. I think whatever they do, as long as Justin Fields can show some improvement and their head coach can show some respect and doesn't get into back and forths with the media, I think that would actually be progress for the Jets. Knowing that Aaron Glenn is not going to bite anybody's head off, because if you're doing it this early, it's just not sustainable. It will swallow you up. And it's not just the media. The media will listen to what you say, and then the fans will listen to what the media says, and then it becomes like an angry mob outside, and it becomes inevitable for everybody inside the building to hear. So it is very important for Aaron Glenn. As much as he played for the New York Jets and has been in the NFL, it is very important for him to kind of keep it even, man, as much as you can. So we'll see what he does. The New York Jets, I see improvement, let's be real. They can't be worse than what they've been the past couple of years, injuries or not. 888-710-4ISN is the number. 888-710-4ISN. You know what? Let's come back from break, and outside of taking your phone calls, let's talk about another one of those teams in the AFC East. This team is expected to win it. They're expected to compete for a Super Bowl. And damn it, one of their star players, he's expected and he's expecting to be paid. He sounds like a WNBA player. Pay him what he's owed, I guess. I'm going to tell you about James Cook on the other side of the break in the Buffalo Bills. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, thank you so much to Zach Rosenblatt for joining us. Covers all things New York Jets for The Athletic. Justin Fields went down earlier today with a foot injury. It looked more dire than that initially, but ultimately it is only a dislocated toe. And so Justin Fields is expected to miss some time, but he's day-to-day. And so we'll see when he's back and ready throwing that football for the New York Jets. In the meantime, Tyrod Taylor is going to go out there and get those first-team reps. We're expecting the New York Jets to not go to the playoffs, but with their new head coach, Aaron Glenn, and Justin Fields hopefully being healthy, yeah, as Botcher said, the Jets could win anything from 4 to 5 games. I think on a high note for the year, they'll win 7 to 8. You know, and a miracle would be if they got to 9. I don't expect that. And speaking of the team that is expected to go to the postseason, the team that's expected to win the AFC East, the team that's expected once again to compete for a Super Bowl, it's the Buffalo Bills. James Cook, we talk about all these guys wanting money. Terry McLaurin from the Commanders, Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals, Shamar Stewart of the Bengals. All these dudes want to get paid. Michael Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. There's another guy that wants to get paid. He showed up to work too. It's James Cook of the Buffalo Bills who play in the AFC East. Last year, James Cook, this man had 18 total touchdowns. He had 16 rushing touchdowns. At 1,000 yards on the ground, this man is slated to make only $5 million this year. That's it. Only $5 million. When you think about his production and his salary in comparison to some of the other running backs, Josh Jacobs getting $12 million a year. Alvin Kamara getting $12 million. Jonathan Taylor getting 14, Christian McCaffrey 19, Saquon Barkley, the highest earner on an average annual basis, he's getting 20 mil again. Let me say it again. James Cook is only scheduled to make a little bit more than $5 million. And so you just know, as probably maybe the biggest offensive weapon for now, behind Josh Allen on the Buffalo Bills offense, James Cook, he wants his money. Come on now. And he spoke to the media today. And he pretty much said, yeah, I'm here at work. I'm participating. Even though I want to get paid. Listen to this.
It's my job. You know, I got to participate so I won't get fined. And just come out here and just show them that I'm ready to go and earn what I got to go get.
Oh, just a little bit of that Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. James Cook continued on. If the Buffalo Bills are not going to pay you, why the heck are you here? Why don't you say send me elsewhere? Why you want to be in Buffalo?
Quarterback and the fans. I mean, it's a great organization. And I mean, they drafted me. They drafted me for a reason, I feel like. And I'm willing to be here and spend the rest of my career here.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I'd want to stay with Josh Allen, too. But you know what? I can't say that. You know, we did have a guy could have won championships in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. And he decided to leave because he wanted money. So I can't say the quarterback. Tyreek Hill, he didn't stay in Kansas City because of the quarterback. He left because he just wanted money. And so James Cook could say the same thing. I don't think he's Tyreek Hill, but he's sticking around. And Buffalo is a great place. I love Buffalo. I love Western New York. Beautiful. Everything. Shout outs to everybody between Rochester and Buffalo. I love it. James Cook. He continued on saying, I'm not giving up. I'll still be here.
I mean, we have talks. I'm never going to give up. I mean, I deserve what I want, what I need, and it's going to eventually happen.
He'll get paid. I don't know. It ain't going to be no 20 mil. Apparently, he wants $15 million a year. He wants to get more than Jonathan Taylor at 14, more than Alvin Kamara at 12. Get your money, man. Come on. 888-710-4ISN. The Bills, and they may not pay him. They want to see what he does this year, and they may not pay him. He's a running back. Come on. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Come on. It's the Bills. They're like, man, we can replace you with somebody else tomorrow. Zach is calling from Knoxville. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Zach?
JR, how you doing, man?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Couple of things. I hate you missed last week because I wanted to apologize to you for telling you not to marinate your chicken, first of all.
Yeah, that was weird, man. That was odd.
Hey, so goes life.
Okay.
Let me tell you, AFC, James Cook is currently making $5 million, right, a year?
Yeah, 5.3.
So I'm not going to tell you what purple and gold team I'm a fan of in the NFC North, but his brother
Dalvin
maxed out at 13. I didn't say the team, but his brother maxed out at 13.8, I believe. What blows my mind is that James Cook right now is – Aaron Jones is Minnesota Vikings running back and is making $20 million a year and is much older.
Not on an average. He's closer to like 12 or 13.
Okay. I might have had that wrong, but he signed you're right. 2 year, $20 million, I do believe. But James Cook, his efficiency warrants making much more money than that. However, this is my knock against the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is supposed to have won a Super Bowl for the past 4 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm out of line. Josh Allen probably has 2 more years to win one, and I think that window's gone.
That's tough to say, man. That's tough to say. What, are you aging him out, or you aging the roster out?
I'm aging the roster out, not Josh Allen. I would trade Josh Allen for just about anybody that's not named Patrick Mahomes in the NFL.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So I called in wanting to talk about division winners. And I'm very curious about the AFC North.
Baltimore.
Well, I'm an NFC. That's the easy one.
Oh, you said AFC or NFC?
I said AFC, but I'm NFC North fan, so I want to hear – I don't want to get you off topic, but I do want to hear what do you think about the AFC North and the NFC North?
Okay.
Because I think the AFC North is – it's Baltimore's to lose. I think – and my friends tell me I'm a crazy person – that Joe Burrow this is my opinion. Joe Burrow, his roster is too expensive, and he's too expensive to win a Super Bowl.
Let me answer you, especially as I'm up against the break, Zach. And thank you for calling from Knoxville. When I take a look at the AFC North, it's really going to be, and it might be a three-team race. I'm not going to tell you that Baltimore is going to fall off, but it certainly is a possibility. I'm not expecting it. If I was a betting man, I'd put Baltimore there at the top as the winner, and I would look at both Cincinnati and Pittsburgh as the two that are going to try to fight to get into the postseason. That's the AFC North. when you look at the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings aren't going to win. What did they win? 14 games last year? That's definitely going to come down with J.J. McCarthy. That's going to allow a team like the Chicago Bears to pick up some additional victories. I think Detroit is also going to come down. The NFC North is the most competitive division in all of football. They will be fighting tooth and nail. The only team that I'm like, hey, has no chance of winning the NFC North, I put that at Minnesota, unless J.J. McCarthy is just going to wow all of us. I am not expecting that. I think Detroit and then also probably Green Bay are your probable best bets to win. We don't know. The Chicago Bears are a little bit of an unknown. But I'll tell you this. Caleb Williams had a better season last year than I think people give him credit for. If he can cut down on running around behind the line of scrimmage, trying to make things out of nothing, if Ben Johnson can get that out of him, then I think the Chicago Bears will be very much improved. The NFC North is going to be ridiculously competitive. Can't call it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back from break. You know, speaking of quarterbacks, there's a quarterback that can't catch a break. And he just won a Super Bowl already. His name is Jalen Hurts. Somebody is slighting him? I'm going to tell you why can't he get no respect? It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.